Today, we'd like to see the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 15, under the title of Righteousness. To online raise multitudes, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 2, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. What is the knowledge in this context? Question 2, in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. What does the end mean in this context? Last question 3, in verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What does it mean? First of all, we want to see brief background. Good news means gospel. In specific, gospel for salvation, or gospel for the righteousness unto salvation. For the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the law, or the law of righteousness became the righteousness of faith now. God commanded a different time, different way. So in the Old Testament, the righteousness of the law was required. But in the New Testament time, the righteousness of faith is changed. Romans chapter 9, verse 30 to 33. What shall we say then, the Gentile? The last time, disciple Paul talked about Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness here, righteousness of law, have attained the righteousness of God, even the righteous of faith. So based upon by faith, the Gentiles attained the righteous of God. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, or the righteousness of law, has not attained the law of righteousness. So Israel people didn't get the law of righteousness, or the righteous of law. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. They did not seek it, the righteousness of faith by faith. But as it were, as the law were by the works of the Lord. So basically they tried to keep the law, literally. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Stumbling stone means Jesus Christ. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion. Zion, located in Jerusalem, a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whoever believes on him will not be put to shame because of in the righteousness of God. So in the New Testament's time, the righteousness of God requires the righteousness of faith. So the righteousness of the law is expired now. So verse 1, brethren, here, brethren Israelites, my heart desire and prayer. So at Paul's fleshy, brethren means Jews, my heart desire and prayer to God. So own desire turned into prayer, own to God. It's an important attitude, good attitude. If you have a certain desire for your brother and sister, so then you should ask to the Lord. Then you might see God works. So for Israel is that they may be saved. Basically, brethren, disciple Paul has a heart for Jewish people for salvation. That's why he is praying for Jews for salvation. Verse 2, for I bear them witness. So disciple Paul himself is a witness that they have a zeal for God. They, meaning the Jews, had a zealous for God, but not according to knowledge, but they had no knowledge. The question one, what is the knowledge? The knowledge is, in verse 4, in this context, verse 4 here, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So then knowledge is the righteousness to everyone who believes Christ. That's the righteousness. Righteousness of God required believe Christ. So the righteousness to everyone who believes Christ. So in verse 4, so John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So in order to have a relationship with God the Father, only through Jesus Christ. So which is the faith of Jesus Christ is required. Then verse 3, for they, the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness, so they have no idea. They don't know God's righteousness, which is righteousness of faith now, and seeking to establish their own righteousness. Their own righteousness, which is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness often its outcome is pride, which is better than you, pride, or judgmental. You are worse than me. So those kinds of outcome, pride, judgmental, that is contrary with the word of God. James chapter 4, verse 6, 11 and 12. But he gives more grace, therefore he said, God said, God resists the proud. God doesn't like the proud people, but gives grace to the humble. God loves the humble people. So verse 11 and 12, God prohibited judgmental saying, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Basically, lawmaker is God. So which meaning God giver, the word of God, which is a law. Also, God make judgment according to law. So you are doer. You are executing God's word. That's basically. So own righteousness, which is a self-righteousness, often outcome pride or judgmental, that is contrary to the word of God or the will of God. Have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. How about the end means? The end means Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And the law is the schoolmaster or tutor to Jesus Christ. So now the law is no longer effective. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophet. I did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. So Jesus Christ already fulfilled on the cross and resurrection, already fulfilled. So the law of righteousness is no longer effective now. So also Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, therefore the law was our tutor, our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So we already arrived on Christ, so we no longer need a schoolmaster or a tutor now. So now we are justified by faith in Christ. Then, verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the Lord. Or Moses writes about the righteousness of the law. The man who does those things meaning those things required by the law, shall live by them. So here, keep even in one point of the Lord. So James chapter 2, verse 10 says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So if you violated a little thing of the entire law, you would violate the entire law. So that's basically. So that means we could not keep entire law. So how come God gave the law? The reason, number one, the law reveals how much we are guilty. That's the purpose God gave the law. The law reveals how much we are guilty or how much we are sinful. Number two, the law was a shadow of Christ. The law for all those animal sacrifices pointing to Christ's perfect sacrifice. That's why God gave in the Old Testament time the law. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 indicates that, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. So the Lord revealed our transgressions, our violations of the Lord. That's the purpose. Also, the law, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come, that is the gospel through Jesus Christ, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, now no longer require Old Testament animal sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. So Jesus Christ's sacrifice is a perfect, sinless sacrifice. We don't need Old Testament required this law any longer. So now, the righteousness of God requires the righteousness of faith rather than the righteousness of the law. Verses 6 to 8, Paul cited Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 to 14 in order to apply to Christ. Basically, Moses' message. Paul cited Moses' messages in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 to 14 in order to apply to Christ in the New Testament time. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven. Particularly this verse, as Moses stated. So parenthesis, Paul is interpret here. That is to bring Christ down from above. That's indicating Jesus' incarnation. Jesus' incarnation. So, Jesus Christ's incarnation, that is to bring Christ down from above, from heaven, incarnation, or who will descend into the abyss. This abyss is a Hades, or the place of a dead body. That's abyss. Who will descend into the abyss? Paul interpret that is to bring Christ out from there. That's indicating Christ's resurrection, Jesus Christ's resurrection. So, then verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, as Moses said, but Paul interprets this word, that is, the word of faith which we preach. So New Testament time, the word of faith which we preach. Here, Moses indicates in your mouth and in your heart. So Paul continually explaining in your mouth, in your heart. Then verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth, confess meaning admit with oral word, or accept with oral word, that's a confess. Confess in your mouth or with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That meaning the risen Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Here said the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus means Jesus Christ is the Lord. Lord means master. So I am the servant of Jesus. I am obeying Jesus' command, or I am obeying God's will. That's why Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, 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 meaning you are master, I am servant, I am obeying your commandment, your will, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will, my Father in heaven. So somebody, empty word, cannot be saved, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, Lord means I am obeying the will of God. So, saved. Verse 10, for with the heart, or in the heart, one believes unto righteousness. Here, believers unto righteousness, and with the mouth, in the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So righteousness unto salvation. So in order to have a relationship with God the Father, we should have no sin at all, rather than we should be righteousness. Because sin separated us from God. So that's why righteousness needs that. So therefore, you should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, death on the cross with bloodshed to cleanse away my sin, and rose again. So that moment we are deemed righteous, then is to restore the relationship with the God the Father, which is called as a salvation. So if I believe with heart and confess with mouth that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord as a Savior, then will be saved. Very simple sentence. If I believe, or you believe with heart, and confess with mouth, that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord as a Savior, then I am saved, you are saved. Whoever believes on him, for the scriptures says, whoever believes on him will not be too shame, because in the righteousness of God. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord of all is rich to all who call upon, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation opportunity is given to all people, not believers only. The first John chapter 2, verse 2, and he himself, Jesus himself, is the propitiation of our sins. Or Jesus himself is a perfect sacrifice for our sins, not for ours only, not for Christians only, but also for the whole world, all human beings, all people, regardless of race, gender, age, education, denomination, regardless, all people. John chapter 3, verse 16 also, for God so loved the world, not say God so loved only believers, no. God so loved the world, all people, that he gave his only begotten son. God gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, in Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So also, Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, only through Jesus Christ, not through any mediator, like a Muslim, you know, Mohammed or Buddha, no, only through Jesus Christ. Here, Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Must is a mandatory clause, not should. Should is a recommendation. Must is 100% required by which we must be. So no other name for salvation under heaven. Only one name, Jesus Christ, required here. So, God gave salvation opportunity to everyone. So that is, they believe with heart and confess with mouth that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord as a Savior. So whoever says so, believes so, shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Here, a necessity of a preacher or a necessity of a messenger of a gospel. If you do not tell about Jesus Christ, how come the people know about Jesus Christ? That's basically. That's why so you look for your neighbors who doesn't know Jesus Christ. You pray to the Lord touch your heart, then deliver Jesus Christ's gospel to him or her. Verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? Here, God's calling is required. But Philippians chapter verse 13 said, for it is God who works in you both to will or to have a desire and to do for his good pleasure. So before introducing Jesus Christ to you, non-Christian, so you should pray to the Lord. So God is working through you to will and to do for his good purpose. Then, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Or gospel means good news. So that is the gospel for salvation, or the gospel for righteousness unto salvation, the gospel of peace, who bring glad or joyful tidings of good things. This particular verse cited from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. So let's see each question in verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. What is that knowledge in this context? That is verse 4. That righteousness to everyone who believe Christ. That's the answer. Verse 4. Righteousness to everyone who believes Christ. Question 2. In verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. What does the end mean in this context? In verse 4, the righteous meaning Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Also, the law is the schoolmaster or a tutor to Jesus Christ. Now the law is expired. Question 3, in verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What does it mean? So here, the necessity of a messenger of a gospel, which is the necessity of a preacher. So let's pray all together the Lord's Prayer, then we'll finish our Bible study.